So please welcome Michael Kaplan.
There were three different times today when I told myself, don't tell the story, just skip it tonight. But I'm here, and I think that that reticence and also that stubbornness are both explained in this story and the theme. My parents sent me to sleepaway camp when I was 10, and I didn't understand why, because I thought I was pretty well behaved. But they had chosen Camp JCA, the Jewish community affiliate camp in Barton Flats, and I didn't know anybody who was going to go there, but they assumed that I would be, fine with the tribe. And it turned out I did know somebody. I knew David Mellinger, and he went to my elementary school, and he meant nothing to me. But on the bus, he started to tear up, and I put my hand on his shoulder, and I told him, look, this is going to be great. We're going to make lifetime friends and discover new skills and strengths in ourselves. You know, I was like a little immigrant child talking about the new land and just full of hope. But I got to camp, and it was disorienting, and it was very anxious. And I remember, standing there before the first assembly or campfire, whatever they called it, watching this one kid with red hair who was just laughing with his friends and greeting people left and right. And I just thought, I want that level of comfort. And right then, one of the really cool girls, and you could tell because there were about three or four of them and they knew everybody, they'd been there before. She sidled up to me and kind of out of the corner of her mouth, she said, XYZ. And I was kind of excited because I thought, all right, cool, this is a code, I can crack it, and I'm going through it in my mind. And then I see that a couple of my cabin mates are pointing and laughing because my zipper had broken. And it was open. It was not just open, it was like the mouth of the whale in Pinocchio. And that was really humiliating, but that wasn't even the worst. It did kind of foreshadow the region, because 2 days later, eight of the campers in my bunk formed a little semicircle around me, and they said, Mike, can we see your... Okay, now look. There are times when I think about, gee, what would it be like to do stand-up comedy? And I think, I would never do dick jokes. But this is kind of a dick story. And I'm sorry. And it has a dick backstory. Born 1960, New York hospital, Jewish family, not a religious family. So my family, we're not going to have a bris. We're not going to have the rabbi and the moil come in there. It's just, you just order up the circumcision, okay? So in walks kind of a circumcision stylist. And I can only imagine that he took my newborn schlong in his hand and turned to my parents and said, so what are we thinking today? And maybe they looked at pictures and he was like, how about the mock turtleneck? So it was subtle, okay? But it wasn't your standard grade A circumcision. And for most of my childhood, that was just, not an issue until I'm 10 at the Jewish sleepaway camp and one of my bunkmates catches a glimpse of me changing. And now I've got eight kids around me, and they say, Mike, can we see your penis? And I say, no. And they say, come on. And I'm like, where were they when my fly was broken? We could have gotten all of this done at once. But I say, no. And the ringleader says, I'll show you mine. You know, I'm like, that's not sweetening the pot at all here. And it's like, all right, fine, get it over with, drop my pants. And they, couple of chuckles, one intake of air. Nobody really said anything, but this was my Elephant Man moment. And, you know, that kind of cratered sleepaway camp at that point, there is no lanyard big enough to kind of smooth over an event like that. And so, you know, I'm going through the motions of baseball and arts and crafts, but I am just a shell. And I think like one time during archery, I go off into the woods and, you know, I start shedding a few tears and David Mellinger puts his hand on my shoulder. And I'm like, you know, on the one hand, I'm thinking that's really sweet. On the other hand, I'm 10 years old and the irony is not lost on me. And I'm pissed about the whole thing. And this is when I signed up for the talent show. And I'm not really sure what motivated me. I've been watching Game of Thrones with my son, and there are always these moments where, you know, somebody comes out worse for wear in a duel or a battle, and they turn to their friend or even their enemy and just say, do it fast, you know, and they sword right through the heart. I think I was looking for that, like, you know, just nuclear. I was going to blow up the whole summer camp experience for myself, and I signed up for the talent show. And I just thought I was going to sing this song that I'd learned from my father that he brought back from World War II. It's just this goofy song, you know, the coffee in the army, they say it's mighty fine. It's black and fresh and steaming and tastes like turpentine. Oh, I don't want no more of army life. Gee, Ma, I want to go home. You know, and it's endlessly variations. You know, you can, the pancakes in the army, they say they're mighty fine. One rolled off the table and broke a toe of mine. You know, so I'm just changing it to, I don't want no more of JCA. Gee, Ma, I want to go home. And I get up at the talent show, and right away I'm getting laughs with this thing. You know, 10 years old and never been in front of an audience before. And it's building, and it's building in waves. And I'm reaching the climax, which I had smartly saved for the end, which was the counselors at JCA. They say they're mighty fine. They're friendly, and they're silly, and they look like Frankenstein. Bedlam. Place goes crazy. You know, I walk off to huge applause, and as I'm passing the front row, there's that redheaded boy. And, you know, this is 1970, he puts his hand out for, give me five, you know, and I give him five, and it is like my coronation. And that night, you know, during cabin check, the counselors are coming in and making a beeline for me and telling me how they like the song and laughing about it. And it would have been great if the next day we all got on the bus and left, and I kind of had that sweet taste of lemonade in my mouth all the way home, but there were two more days of camp, and I just kind of got a little greedy, and you know, and I'd be doing my thing, and I'd see that popular redheaded guy, and I'd suddenly launch into the song, because you know, I wanted him to know that that comedy and that effervescence was just bubbling out of me all the time. So, you know, by the time I got on that bus to go home, it was a little more bittersweet because I had managed to make lemonade out of lemons, but this was also the summer that I got addicted to lemonade, and that's why I'm here. Thank you.